We should have known the end was near. How could we not have known? When the sky began to pour acid and rivers began to turn green, we should have known our land would soon be dead. Then again, how could we have known when they didn't want us to know? When we began to wobble and stagger, tumbling and snapping like feeble little branches, they told us it would soon be over, that we would all be well in no time. They asked us to come to village meetings to talk about it. They told us we had to trust them. We should have spat in their faces, heaped upon them names most befitting. Liars, savages, unscrupulous, evil. We should have cursed their mothers and their grandmothers, flung pejoratives upon their fathers, prayed for unspeakable calamities to befall their children. We hated them, and we hated their meetings, but we attended all of them. Every 8 weeks, we went to the village square to listen to them. We were dying. We were helpless. We were afraid. Those meetings were our only chance at salvation. We ran home from school on the appointed days, eager to complete our chores so we would miss not one word at the assembly. We fetched water from the well, chased goats and chickens around our compounds into bamboo barns, swept away leaves and twigs scattered across our front yards. We washed iron pots and piles of bowls after dinner, left our huts many minutes before the time the meeting was called for. We wanted to get there before they strode into the square in their fine suits and polished shoes. Our mothers hurried to the square too, as did our fathers. They left their work unfinished in the forest beyond the big river, their palms and bare feet dusted with poisoned earth. "The work will be there waiting for us tomorrow," our fathers said to us, "but we'll only have so many opportunities to hear what the men from Pexton have to say." Even when their bodies bore little strength, after hours of toiling beneath a sun both benevolent and cruel, they went to the meetings, because we all had to be at the meetings. The only person who did not attend the meetings was Konga, our village madman. Konga, who had no awareness of our suffering and lived without fears of what was and what was to come. He slept in the school compound as we hurried along, snoring and slobbering if he wasn't tossing, itching, muttering, eyes closed. Trapped as he was, alone in a world in which spirits ruled and men were powerless under their dominion, he knew nothing about Pexton.